First of all, so we've got this new poll out this week. Shows Boxer kind of extending her lead up to 8 points now. What would you say, you've been covering this race, you know, from the beginning, what would you say has been the key to the race and how we got to where we are today?
You know, I think one of the keys is what a strong candidate Fiorina has been on the stump. She is not only an attractive candidate, a telegenic candidate, but she is someone who really connects with her audience. I've seen her. She's a great political communicator. She's a real favorite with a lot of these voters, a Tea Party favorite. So I think she's fired them up. And aside from the fact that she has really been aggressive working up and down the state, and her message has been jobs, relentlessly jobs. I think because of that, and Boxer's has a contrast to Boxer's campaign, which has been sort of lackluster. The senator really hasn't been out there nearly as much as Fiorina, and certainly hasn't been doing it for as long. So I think that and the fact that Fiorina's profile from the start was interesting to voters. This corporate woman, this high-profile woman, the only woman ever to have run a Fortune 20 company, from the beginning was a political star. And I think that that also gave her an edge in the campaign.
And yet she's behind and seems to be getting further behind in a year when Boxer seems so very vulnerable. So in spite of what you're saying, why do you think she's failed to, you know, overtake Boxer?
You're right. This is a year in which Boxer was being portrayed as this tired old symbol of the political status quo, someone going for a fourth term. And Fiorina was this fresh-faced corporate leader. Boxer has been able to take that corporate leadership, I think, and use it to her advantage. She has portrayed Fiorina as a corporate insider, a Wall Street toady, someone who has sent jobs overseas while enriching herself to the tune of millions. And her ads have just been, I think, devastating to Fiorina. She's got former Hewlett-Packard workers, some of those 30,000 workers that Carly Fiorina laid off, and you see those faces telling the stories of how they were kind of pushed out the door. I think those ads have been very, very tough on Fiorina. And I have to say, I think the campaign of Meg Whitman is having some kind of effect on Fiorina as well. Both of these women were portrayed as the worst nightmare for Democrats in the state, two leaders who could come in and take over from the political status quo. Whitman's campaign in the final days has the wheels appear to have come off, and Jerry Brown now has a double-digit lead over her. And I think she may be dragging down some of Fiorina's support as well, as voters look at these two corporate women and say, can they really take political office and seize the moment and change California?
You know, we both remember back in 1992, the year of the woman, when Feinstein and Boxer both got the nomination, and they campaigned, not all the time, but on occasion they campaigned together, and there seemed to be a synergy between the two of them. We haven't seen that at all, I don't think, since the day after the primary with Whitman and Fiorina. Do you think in retrospect that was a mistake, or, you know, what about that dynamic between the two of them?
I think the dynamic was pretty clear to most Republicans. These two women, despite their background, their unique backgrounds that they shared, just didn't like each other. And that was pretty clear going back to the McCain campaign. They saw each other as rivals. The insiders told stories about the way they would elbow each other off the stage. And we know that the final night, the victory night, election night, they're not even together in Southern California. Whitman is holding her own election night celebration, and Fiorina is with the Republican Party in Orange County, and I think that kind of tells the story. They didn't even want to be together on election night. I think it did hurt in the long run. Had they been more collegial, had they been able to campaign up and down the state as fresh female leadership and make that case, they could have gotten, I think, a bigger percentage of the women's vote in both cases. Fiorina and Whitman have been unable to grab the women's vote despite their historic efforts to make it into office.
Now, this week, Carly Fiorina was hospitalized for a couple of days for an infection related to some surgery she had earlier in the year. She's back on the campaign trail Thursday. This poll came out and was taken before any of that happened. Any sense of how that hospitalization, brief though it was, could affect the race one way or the other?
You know, it's hard to tell. It took her off the campaign trail for a crucial 48 hours in the week before the election, it's true. But Fiorina has been a fighter on this issue of cancer. She was the candidate who came out with a bald head at the beginning of this campaign and said, I am here and I'm going to fight through this and nothing scares me. So in the final days, there she was again this week saying, I'm back and I'm going to fight this all the way through. If anything, I think it showed that she has the energy and sort of the gumption to carry this through. I'm not sure it affected voters at all, although, you know, time will tell whether those 48 hours off the campaign trail really did hurt, considering that the race was closing, it looked like, at that point.
Yeah. Now, California seems to be defying this anti-incumbent, anti-career politician trend, both with Jerry Brown and with Barbara Boxer. Why do you think that is? Is that just a reflection of all the things you've said, you know, over the past few minutes about the candidates they're running against, or is there something else?
I think you're right. I mean, here we had a situation where these two high-profile corporate leaders were running against really old-school politicians, literally, when you're talking about Jerry Brown, who was governor from 75 to 83, and Barbara Boxer, who's trying for a fourth term in office. This was the golden opportunity, the marquee opportunity to go up against the political status quo. And yet both women did not gain traction, did not make the sale. However good corporate saleswomen they were, they didn't do it on the political front. Both women had lackluster voting records. Both of them had very sort of minimal efforts in terms of civic involvement before these races. And I think in Whitman's case, the amount of money she spent on this race, $142 million of her own money, was off-putting to some voters. Fiorina didn't really spend as much money, doesn't have as much money as Whitman. I think in the end, Whitman, it will be interesting to see their political involvement and whether it continues no matter what happens on Election Day. I think Fiorina ran a good race, whatever happens. She was a stellar political candidate out there. She did really connect with voters. She fired them up, and she is someone who knows how to deliver a speech in a way that excites the crowds. I wouldn't be surprised if we see her again in a run for office. And because of the way she ran her campaign, I think a lot of people would say that she could probably hold her head up and continue on a political realm.